we're in the middle of the dating class, and last week we discussed how a person gets offers, dealing with shadchanim, rabbis, etc. And the question came up, which it's a question that bothers many people, and legitimately so. The question is, how much ishtadlut does one have to perform in order to get married? How much do I have to work to do it? We know that when it comes to mitzvot, ordinarily, I have to ensure I perform the mitzvah. When it comes to marriage, so it's a little bit tough. I mean, if someone told me, look, here's the address where your wife lives, so even if it's in New Zealand, I'll work, I'll put together the money, I'll go travel there, I'll meet her, I'll marry her, no problem. The problem is that I never know where she is, and I don't know how I'm going to find her. So, how much ishtadlut does one have to do? There's a Gemara that appears in Sota and in Moed Katan. The Gemara discusses the fact that 40 days prior to the formation of the embryo, it is proclaimed in heaven who is going to marry whom. The Gemara questions this, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion that really we have to do our own, meaning if a person sees a girl and he thinks he should marry her, then he should do something about it, even on Tisha B'Av, even on Chol HaMoed. We don't say, well, being that it's already all signed and sealed up in heaven, so whatever I have coming is what's going to happen. Halachically, what we say is, you have to ensure that you get yours. So if you have an offer and someone offers you to date, so you have to take it very seriously. And
what about Tisha B'Av?
On Tisha B'Av, ordinarily, we don't do things that are joyous. But Chazal said, what about engaging a girl? Maybe someone else will engage her before you. So Chazal said, okay, so take care of it. What happens if Chol HaMoed? Ordinarily, we don't do all kinds of things like this on Chol HaMoed. But Chazal said, yeah, but if you don't, maybe someone else will. So there's a discussion in the Gemara. What does it mean someone else will? The Gemara says, Shema yekademenu acher berachamim. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Maybe someone else will precede you with asking God for mercy. So what does that mean? So the different Rishonim have different understandings. Some say maybe someone else, through his prayer, will be able to bump you off. Either cause you to die or cause you to lose your wife. Whatever the understanding is.
What?
Oh, so you see, the Gemara doesn't work that way. The Gemara tells us there is Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni. And the Gemara basically tells us that Zivug Rishon is not the first woman you marry. A person can marry a woman for the first time, and that's his Zivug Sheni. Meaning he had predetermined before he was born a girl he was supposed to marry. And that was his match based upon the way God fashioned his neshama and her neshama. And then he lost that for whatever reason, because someone else davened or because of whatever other reason. And he ends up with Zivug Sheni, which is the second type of girl that matches him, which the Gemara says God matches based on what you deserve. You get what you deserve, the Gemara says. That's Zivug Sheni. That's the second marriage. So if this is the first girl I'm marrying, is that Zivug Rishon or Zivug Sheni? You don't know. You always hope it's Zivug Rishon. Go figure. So on the one hand, we see from the Gemara and from the Halacha that a person can't sit back and say, well, whatever's supposed to be is going to be. I'd like to make this point a little bit sharper. The Gemara tells us, Bagirav bitcha, if your daughter has aged, Mechor avdecha, Shachrer avdecha, release your slave, Basien ulan, marry him off to her. Ordinarily we say the slaves are the derelicts, they're the lowlifes, they're the people you can't trust around women, they're the people, the last thing you want is to marry off your daughter to a slave. I mean, the slaves are used to having free women all the time. They're living a life that's very immoral. But Chazal said, if your daughter is getting old and you haven't found her a shidduch, so get her married, even if it means getting her not the top guy in the market. You have to free your slave, marry him to her, but don't leave her to be an old maid.
So we see
that Chazal taught us, yes, a slave is going to be Jewish, Chazal taught us that there reaches a point where a person has to think of compromising, even on major things. Now, we see that Chazal did not tell us, don't worry about it, whatever has to be is going to be. I'm beginning with this side of the coin because I feel that all too often people stress the other side of the coin. There is another side, and we'll get to it in a second. But I encounter almost every week that I call up people with shiduchim, and they tell me, I'll think about it. Or they tell me, could you call me back in 10 days? I don't think it's right. if a person has a legitimate reason not to date, fine. But all too often I understand from the party that they just like, I don't know, I'll think about it. That people take it very easy. I tell them, why don't you check out the girl? You could call up now and check her out. Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, maybe by the next day she'll go out with someone else. People are in no rush. I don't know. The tradition I have is that when the Chazon Ish was asked, we have a shidduch for so-and-so, should we wake him? The Chazon Ish said, of course you should wake him. Wake him up and tell him about the girl. If he says yes, let's move it forward. That's fine, but that's not what people are saying. People say, I'm interested. And I tell them, so you want to call and verify and get back to me? And they say, in a few days. And I say, why does it take a few days? They call me back after a week or 2 weeks and they say, I'm interested. Now, they don't realize, if I tell a guy about a girl and he doesn't get back to me within a day or two, I go to the next guy and I tell him about the girl. If I have three guys that I think the girl is good for, I'm not going to wait for Mr. Number One. Sometimes the same evening, I'll go to three people, tell them about the same girl, and whoever comes back first, I'm going to set them up with the girl. I'm not waiting for anyone. Oh, so people say they're serious.
Michael,
if this happened once a year or once a month, then I'd hear what you're saying. But if it's happening every week, so I always say jokingly, but there's truth to it, that I'm more interested in them getting married than they are. Because when I have a shidduch to read, I'm going to stop my learning, close the Gemara. The second I have an idea of something that can match, I stop what I'm doing and I go make the phone call. I say, God forbid, I should delay someone else's shidduch. But no one else seems to have that attitude. When I talk to people, they seem like they have a lot of time. You see that? It's happening all the time. I'm telling you, it happens all the time with guys that will come and say, beg and say, I want a shidduch. And then when I call them, that's the answer I get. So that's why I'm beginning with this side of the coin. People can't be too laid back. People have to recognize that we have a responsibility, we have a mitzvah to perform, and we have to do our hishtadlut. And our hishtadlut means that we have to do our best. Now, does that mean I have to call 100 shadchanim? Or one shadchan? So that, I think that depends on the output. If you see that one shadchan is calling you up and telling you about girls every week or two, fine. Usually that's not the case. Now, if you are past the age of, for men, past the age of 23, for women, past the age of 21, if you're not getting two or three guys a month, then you're not getting enough hatzot. You're not getting enough offers. Now, I know guys who are 25, and they go a half a year without being offered one girl. It's not right. It's a problem. But your responsibility is to go to another shadchan, go to another Rebbe, find someone else to talk to. I don't think the question is how many shadchanim you go to, but you do have to have certain offers. There's a normal hishtadlut. You have to see that it's going to come from somewhere. You might end up like me, that you're set up with 50, 60 girls. I was set up with about 300 girls, but I only dated about 60 girls. And then in the end, the one that set me up with my wife was someone who had never offered me anyone else. So you say, why did I go with everyone else? Because you never know where it's going to come from. So you never know who's going to set you up with your wife or your husband. But what you do have to know is that you're doing normal hishtadlus. Normal hishtadlus means that you're getting offered to go out with girls, that you're going out with at least one girl a month. You're being offered at least three, and you're going out with at least one. If you're being offered 10, but none of them are close to the mark, then that's not called good hishtadlus. Then obviously the people are trying to set you up aren't the right people or don't understand you well. But you have to have a decent offer almost every week. Now that's not exorbitant. If you want to get married, then you got to move on it. If you want to sit back and let the years go by, so fine, sit back and let the years go by. But I think what's normal hishtadlus is that you see that offers are coming. If you tell me you have one good offer a month, that's decent. One good offer a month, if it's really a good offer. I'm saying two or three because I'm assuming that out of three, you might end up going out with one. The other two, you'll verify, or after one date, you'll see that's not it, which is usually the case. So this I would say for guys and girls. There is the other side of the coin, which we'll get to in a second. Yeah?
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to remind
We'll get to that. That's where we're headed.
Why is such a problem to marry after 25? Because in America you can marry, I don't know, totally more.
You can get married.
27 to 29. I'm saying that there is.
So
no,
we had another class which discussed when is a person ready to get married. That's a different class.
There are so many marriages that are like.
Fine. That's not our class now. I gave the date for the general populace about when each person is ready for to go out. That's a different question. We discussed that in the first class. Now to the other side of the coin. And it's important to remember the other side of the coin. Chazal do tell us that in Shemaim they proclaimed who is a person's match. And Chazal do tell us that Hashem concerns himself with making matches. That's the creations that God does every day. And Chazal do tell us that Hashem brings people sometimes from the same neighborhood and sometimes from two edges of the world in order to make a match. Chazal seemed to give us an understanding that Hashem takes an extra role in shidduch making, extra hashgacha. I stress the first side because I don't think we can rely on that in our actions. In our actions, we have to behave with normal hishtadlut. But once we have done what is incumbent upon us to do, we cannot go crazy. We have to remember that Hashem is guiding the show. I remember I was once in a situation where I was set up with two girls. And every time I said yes to either one of the two girls, she was busy. And then one day, every time I checked out both girls, they both made sense. And like every 2 weeks, I'd get a phone call, do you want to go out with this one? I'd say, yeah. They'd call me back after 2 days and say, oh, she's busy now. I'd get a phone call about the other one. Are you interested? Yeah. They'd check out, she's busy. And it went ping pong. And then I'd get a phone call, and I was busy. It went back and forth. And then one time, I get a phone call. And they tell me, this and this girl is available now, are you interested? And I'm about to say yes, and I see this call waiting from the guys from the other girl. I answer, and I tell them, let me get back to you in 1 second. I answer the call waiting, and they tell me, well, the other girl is available now, are you interested? So now I'm sitting there, and both the girls that seem to make perfect sense, I didn't marry either one. But at that point, I didn't know that would be the conclusion. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, now what am I supposed to do? And I remember the nerves, like, you know, you have two girls, and they both seem to make good sense. How do you decide? And you know that both are busy all the time. Oh, so I didn't believe in doing that, and I had serious reservations.
I have a problem with that too, but I'm just saying that many people do it.
Right, that's a different discussion we'll get to later, as Hashem, about double dating. We'll get to that. We'll get to it. So that's why I think it's important to remember, and the Gra stressed this point, that there is an aspect where Chazal revealed to us that Hashem says, I'm watching over you with regard to this more than anything else. A person, when it comes to his hashkafa, after he's done his proper hishtadlut, a person has to have the attitude, Hashem is watching over me, and Hashem is going to ensure I get married. And even though you could be like Yitzchak, who was 40 years old and he hadn't yet gone out on a single date, he hadn't yet had children or anything, and he was almost a dead man at that age. He had a close call with death. Nonetheless, he didn't feel like it's over. No. I know 40-year-old men and 40-year-old women and 50-year-old men and 50-year-old women and 60-year-old men and 60-year-old women, all of which got married at a later age. And everything is not only possible, but everything does happen. And a person can never give up, and a person always has to remember, this is an area where Hashem takes extra care. If I've done my role, if I've done my hishtadlut, then my hashkafa has to be, Baruch Hashem, I'm in the best hands ever. Whenever a shidduch didn't work out, and I'd call up the shadchan, so they'd always apologize, oh, I'm so sorry it didn't work, and I'd always tell them, what are you apologizing for? If we'd have gotten married and had children, and they would have had children, and they would have had children, everyone would have said, oh, it's all thanks to you. You're the father of the family. You had this great idea of the shidduch, and thanks to you, all these children were born. Well, Chazal tell us that God looks at our thoughts, and if we plan on doing a good action, if we really mean to do it, but it just didn't work out for reasons beyond our control, God considers it as though we've done it. So I always told them, you've already married me, brought children, grandchildren, you've already done the works. Practically, it didn't work, that's not in your hands. And then they'd say, yeah, but you know, you're getting old and you don't have a wife. And I'd say, I'll tell you a little secret. Baruch Hashem, it's not in your hands, and Baruch Hashem, it's not in my hands. Baruch Hashem, it's in the best hands in the world. It's in God's hands. So we're going to do our ishtadlus, and we're still going to be happy because it's not in our hands. So long as we did our role, we have to be, like we learned earlier in Pirkei Avot, with a lev tov. We have to be happy, content. I did mine, and Baruch Hashem, Hashem is running the show. So that's about that point.